Okay, so we're going to talk today mostly about OHEL and other, actually, before we get there, some other practical applications of Boneh B'Shabbes that not so theoretical, more practical. I forgot, by the way, to do the end of Shin Yud Daled, Sif Yud Aleph, last year when we did Shin Yud Daled. I was going to talk about Harama and Adirabanan, but I suppose we should go on. But if you're interested, very interesting discussion about Harama comes up over here, as well as the Gemara there talks about Harama for Talmud Chacham and an important discussion as to whether or not we have Talmidei Chachamim nowadays. One other interesting and important thing to note is that even though we've been seeing, I think we might have mentioned it, but just to clarify it again, you know, we've been mentioning that when we're talking about Kelim, if it's Rafoi, it's Mutter, at least if it's not the derech to ever make it tight. But the Gemara in Shabbos Mem Ches Amud Aleph Rav Chisda permitted putting back the fluff into pillows, but not to put them in for the first time. Rashi there explained that's because Essias Kli. And it sounds like over there that even though in a sense there's no harkava for sure, since it's the first time it's aser. And that's what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch as well, Shin Yud Zayin Sif Beis. An interesting application of that would be putting in a shoelace in a new shoe. So if you're putting in a shoelace for the first time in the new shoe, that would likely be usher, like we're saying over here. You're being mashlim the tzur of the kli, even though it's not in particularly tightly. That would be usher, like Rav Chisda says. Whereas on the other hand, if you're shoelace fell out on Shabbos, or partially fell out, you wanted to put it in. Assuming it's easy to get back in. Remember, we talked about this before with the clear holes and the clear thread in terms of the issue of tofer. But assuming it's, you know, easy to get back in, so that would be mutter. First time putting it in would be aser. Replacing it would be mutter. Another interesting application of this would be the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says you can't blow up a ball for the first time on Shabbos. Because again, that would be like filling up a pillow. Here you're filling up the ball with air, but that would be Aser. Let's talk about Megabin for a moment. This is a very surprising application of Boneh. The Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph, says that Megabin, which is making cheese, is Chayav Mishum Boneh. Why? So we already noted at the first shear in Boneh, the Rambam explains, you're taking small little pieces of pre-cheese and you're being mechaber them together to make cheese. If you're mekabetz dvarim nefradim l'guf echad, that is Boneh. Now, we mentioned, interestingly enough, that the Ritva assumes that's just the Havamina of the Gemara, but most Rishonim, among them the Rashba, assume that even the Lemaskana, it's the reason why Megabin's Aser, and again, there might be a debate that it's an Iser D'oraisa. Now, the Rashba, Kuf Beis, we cited this earlier, asks, or shows that you see from here, that it's Shayach Binyan for Kalim. Now, this doesn't make any sense to say that you're not allowed to make cheese out of Boneh, but you're allowed to make a kli, right? If making cheese is bonus or told of Boneh, so certainly making kalim from scratch would be Boneh. And that's what he says. Vim ein binyan b'kalim, hayach afshar sheyesh binyan b'ochlin. How could anyone say there's no binyan b'kalim, but there is binyan b'ochlin? Ela sha'osa davar mitchilaso chayv mishum osa kli. V'hu ha'boneh. So anytime you make a kli from scratch, that's Boneh. We talked about Shitas HaRashba and Ramban extensively already. And likewise, making cheese, since you're making it from scratch, is also a Boneh violation. Whether it's a kli or an ochel, if you make something new, that is Boneh. Now, I think some of the Achronim ask an interesting shiloh, which is, if it's mutter, if it's aser, maybe chayiv to make cheese, so then eating cheese should be an Isera Soser, right? After all, L'chora, Soser is the opposite of Boneh. So we saw already with Moshe deal with this over there in that long Shuvah that we quoted last time, Anaf Zion. And this is also, we quoted even earlier when we talked about this the first time. And he says, well, no, There's chashivas to the creation of cheese, so that's going to be chayev. But there's no chashivas to the eating of cheese, and therefore you're pater. What we noted there is a very important idea that Rav Moshe is assuming, which is that bone and tzotzer aren't opposites. Just because the creation of the cheese is going to be bone, it doesn't mean the uncreation of that cheese is going to be tzotzer. We noted that sounds like it's against the Gemara, but here we gave an answer. Here I think you could say a little more pashat, which is maybe it's not doma to tzotzer because you're not returning it to the way it is exactly. You're just breaking it into smaller pieces of cheese. When I eat cheese or I cut cheese, so I start off with a big piece of cheese and I have five small little pieces of cheese. That's not the opposite of bone in this case. Bone, it's not like when you're megabe, you start off with five little pieces of cheese and then you make one big piece of cheese. But again, especially like we saw in the Rashba, it's a transformative process by which cheese is created. I guess you can't say yesh me'ayin, but more like yesh me'esh, but it's still bria yesh me'esh. And therefore, but that is not what cutting up cheese is. Cutting up cheese, you're not creating anything new. It's not to just transfer. It's not, it doesn't undo the process, the transformative process of creating of cheese. It just simply takes your cheese and makes it into small pieces. So therefore, that would be mutter. One way or the other, Tosfos asks a very interesting question over here. He says, well, if Megabin is chayv mishum bona, presumably it should be mutter on Yantif. Now, the Gemara does sound like it's also to make cheese on Yantif, but that's because of a more technical problem that it's better, older cheese is better, aged cheese is better. So since it would be better if you made an Erev Yantif, so we're machmir l'chorim midrabanan. But fundamentally, at least, you could make cheese on Yantif. So Tosa says, if that's true, so we should say mitoch, namely, mitoch that bone is hutra l'tzorech, it's hutra nami shalol l'tzorech. So the nafkamina would be, if my house fell down on Yantif, I could rebuild it. Well, that's probably not going to get too far on Yantif, but let's say a piece of my house fell down on Yantif. It's not allowing me to eat, right? Ohal nefesh. That's even ochel nefesh. Even if it's not ochel nefesh, it's tzarech yantif, right? I have a hole in my roof. I want to patch it up so I can enjoy my yantif. L'chora, that should be mutter. Mitoch shatra. So Tosus answers, yeah, enachanami taka would be mutter. Yeah, it's aser also of the hole. Fundamentally, at least on a divisive level, you could violate bona l'tzarech yantif. Not everybody agrees to Tosfos. The Meiri Beya Yud Beis Medalev says we only say mitoch by melachos that are always or at least generally done for achila. Whereas Tosus over here assumes that any melacha that shayach to ochel nefesh, we would say mitoch. And therefore, since there is an example of bona that shayach to ochel nefesh, so memela we say mitoch. That's what Tosfos says. An amazing Tosfos, very mechudash, obviously. The Rambam disagrees with Tosfos, but as we mentioned earlier, a nafkamina that might emerge from Tosfos is that Tosfos saying that there's no iser deraisa by bona on Yantif when it's letzora chayom would be if your sukkah falls down on Yantif, or your schach, something happens on Yantif, so it would still be iser midrabanan. But you could ask a guy to fix it because it would be a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. There's a storm. Some part of your sukkah fell off on Yantif. You can't eat in the sukkah. Could you ask a guy to do it? So we talked about this before. Maybe it's not midoraisa because it's arai. It's not kavua because you're planning to disassemble your sukkah after Yantif's over. We talked about this in the Prima Gadim about this issue. We talked about it in the context of the Yushalmi and the Ritva and the like. But as we mentioned as well, there's another tzad to be well, this would only apply on Yantif, not on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, but on Yantif. So it would be mutter to ask a guy according to Tosus. Now we might not pass him like Tosus, but certainly to use Tosus as a sniff to ask a guy, first of all, it might not be midoraisa because it's not permanent. And second of all, it might not be midoraisa because it's mutter. According to Tosfos, and therefore, on Yantif, there's makom to be makel to ask a guy to fix it. Is somebody trying to ask a question?
Hi, guys.
Okay, good. So anyway, once we see that there's this concept of bonab by food, like megabein, there are a number of other very interesting questions that come up, which might be usher on Shabbos because of bona relating to food. So one of the ones that the recently people have been wondering about is sushi. Are you allowed to make sushi on Shabbos? So this is, you know, some people want to make sushi themselves in their homes for Shalosh Shittos. My kids once wanted to know if they could do that. I think the type of sushi we made would vaday not be bonus. I'll tell you about it in a moment. Didn't quite come out looking like sushi. We didn't do it anyway on Shabbos. But also, it's, you know, sign of our times, people want to know, they're making a fancy Kiddush and Shul, they're making a bar mitzvah, and they want to know if they could have a sushi table, and they'll have a guy make sushi, right? So you can't, it's true, it would only be Amir Lenachi, but Nisid Rabbanan, but if it's us who make sushi, it's us who make sushi. Even if we say make sushi is Nisid Rabbanan, it's hard to argue that you're allowed to ask a guy to do it. It's not a shvusta, shvus makom mitzvah. I don't think sushi is a mitzvah enough to be matir shvus to shvus. So the question is, are you allowed to make sushi on Shabbos? So what we're really asking over here is, what is the parameters of the iser bona for Shabbos? I'm sorry to all those who are coming late and didn't get the message that we started at 11:45, but we are not too far into it. We've been discussing the issue of bona b'Shabbos in terms of megabein, and now we're continuing that discussion in terms of the applicability of the question of making sushi on Shabbos. So the Chai Adam writes, this is in Klal Amin Tesef Aleph, afilu b'davar ma'achal shayach binyan, kegon ha-megabein gvino kiyotei bau, v'lav dafka gvina, al afilu ha-medabek peros u'mechavein lasosam bal tmuna. So it's not limited to making cheese. If you could have bona for cheese making, there could be other examples, like being medabek peros, putting peros together to make some type of tmuna. I don't know what he means, actually. I don't think he means like the shape of Mickey Mouse. There's a certain tzura that you're trying to make, long or short or the like. You're pushing these, smushing these, probably dried fruits together. So chayev misham bona, unbelievable. It's an iser deraisa. You're taking a bunch of dried fruits, you're smushing them together into a certain form. That's an iser deraisa. Maishna from cheese, that's what the Magen Avraham, that's what the Chai Adam is saying. And in a moment, we'll see it's based off the Magen Avraham. Now, besides sushi, there are a number of other applications for this. Rav Asher Weiss thought that making a 7-layer cake, doesn't have to be 7 layers, dafka, would be an equal violation of bona. Sushi also. As what are you doing when you make 7-layer cake? You take a bunch of thin cakes and you put frosting in between them and you shape them into a nice round thing. Maybe you'll put frosting on top, right? Make a birthday cake, a layered birthday cake. That would be bona. Now, the question that we have to figure out if that's true is, well, what about making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Why would that be bona? After all, what's the difference, you know, between making a 7-layer cake and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Maybe it's also to make that also. It's very hard to imagine, though. So how do we understand it? So let's take a look at the Magen Avraham, where this is really coming from. The Magen Avraham it's going on Simen Shin Mem Sif Yud. The Shulchan Aruch there says that Hamakabetz Tveila Vasam Yemena Eagle Oshinakov Teinim Vehichnis Hachevel Bahem. As you make an eagle shel Tveila, a bunch of Tveilos that are smushed together in a very tight, packed cake, or you string them. Told us me'amer. So we talked about this very early in the year under the Malacha me'amer. So that has nothing to do with it. But the Magen Avraham on this says, but why is it only aser al me'amer? It should be aser al bona. He answers, it's only aser mishum bona if you want to make it beautiful, to make it smooth, to make it nice. In other words, if I'm just packing together my figs or my dates or something like that, I don't care much about what it looks like, then it's not bona. Apparently, when you're megabein, you do care about the form. You know, you're trying to make a nice wheel of cheese. It's a pretty object. You care about the shape. That's a shayla bona. So anytime the image, the appearance is relevant and you're being medabek smaller things into something bigger, so then that is an iser d'oraisa, it sounds like, of bona. Now, it's sort of interesting, by cheese we didn't mention that, but it's a l'chora, and we know generally speaking appearance isn't koveya for bona, it could be chai for bona, you don't care about the tzura, but l'chora the point is it's a simen l'davar, that you're creating something new. Yeah.
Why wouldn't this be binyan she'eino shel kayama?
We'll get there in one moment. That's a good question. Now, it's sort of interesting. You know, I would have thought, if not for the Magen Avraham, that it's not like cheese making, because like we saw in the Rashba, cheese making has to be transformative. Now, maybe he thinks these igulei dvela are transformative. I don't know. I don't eat igulei dvela so frequently. But the point with cheese, at the very least, is you're taking a bunch of small things that aren't even really cheese. You use the rennet, you separate the curds and the whey, I guess. You then smush them together into this ball of cheese. That's a transformative process. You started off with non-cheese and then you got cheese. Well, what about igulei dvela? Is igulei dvela really transformative? I mean, maybe you're going to say, yeah, I had a bunch of dvelos and now I have an igul. Or no, maybe not. Maybe you just have more of the same thing. It's in a different tzura than before. It's packed together. In a shape, but is it transformative? I'm not sure. But at the very least, the Magen Avraham. So either the Magen Avraham thinks you're chayiv even when it's not transformative, against my understanding of the Rashba, or he thinks no, igulei dvela are transformative. So going back to the question, what about the sandwich? Is that going to be usher? Is a sandwich transformative? If you think igulei dvela transformative, maybe a sandwich is also. After all, you started off with bread and peanut butter, and now you have a sandwich. Rishon Zalman is very troubled by this Chai Adam's application of the Magen Avraham. Chai Adam is basically quoting the Magen Avraham, but he seems to be taking it even a bit further. And an interesting question, he says, is, well, what about Anyantif? It's clear in Hilchos Yantif you're allowed to make chal on Shabbos, let's say, Anyantif, right? Well, why isn't that a problem? After all, when you make a challah, you are making a shape, right? And you're putting, first of all, you're putting things together, little things, and making a big thing, and you care about the shape, you care about the appearance, right? What are you going to say then? When you make chal on Yantif, you're not allowed to braid it. So how could the Magen Avraham, how could the Chayyadim say this? Well, what about cheese? Why is cheese, according to Rishon Zalman, why is cheese different? I don't remember if he says this or not, but one possible answer is exactly what Yoni said a couple of minutes ago, which is maybe it depends if it's Miskayim or not. Meaning say, why is cheese usser? Cheese is very, it's long lasting. Cheese, you age it for several months before you actually could eat it. You can't just make cheese and then eat it right away. It would be pretty bad. Different cheeses have to be aged different amounts of time, but there is much more of a miskayim there. Mashaim came making challah, or probably even these igulei dvela, as far as I know. There is no. It's short-lived. Now, if that's true, if that chiluk is true, again, doesn't sound like the Chai Adam holds of that, but if that chiluk is true, so then the cake, the birthday cake would be mutter, the sushi would be mutter, the challah would be mutter, and the like. Yes, Gabe?
The Gemara at the beginning of Kol HaKelim says that a dvela is the type of thing that you'd need a cardom in order to cut open.
Right.
That very much sounds like something that's like permanent in the way that cheese is, not in the way that bread is. So that sounds like...
Agreed. So then that would be good. So we'll say that the Magen Avraham is consistent. According to Magen Avraham, it would still be mutter to make sushi and birthday cake. It's more of an issue in the Chai Adam, because the Chai Adam doesn't put that restriction. He doesn't just say that about making igulei dvela. He says that about... the way he puts it is usher... afilo medabik peros. So unless you're going to say that medabik peros only means igulei dvela, But it doesn't sound that way. When you read the Chayadam, at the very least, again, and that's why I think the Chayadam is going further than the Magen Avram. That's why Rishon Zalman is more troubled by the Chayadam than he is by the Magen Avram. The Chayadam may be just talking about Igulei Tevelim, like you said. Perhaps this is a long, this is something that was very long-lasting. Maybe they did this so it would last a long time if you need a saw to cut it open. But again, according to that explanation, birthday cakes and sushi should all be mutter. Now, if you do, though, hold to this chumrah of the Chayei Adam, again, the Chayei Adam does not seem to think that it has to be long-lasting. So then we have a question about, you know, why sandwiches mutter? Again, assuming they are. So maybe even he's only machmir when you're, well, first of all, the answer is it's sandwich. I really care about what it looks like, right? I just spread the peanut butter and jelly and close the bread. So that's one reason why sandwich might be okay. Also, you might still say that you need some type of edifice, even if you're getting machmir for sushi and layer cake. A sandwich, again, is just a practical way of being the la faces a pas. There's an article on sushi. I haven't read it for a while, written by Rabbi Ari Zatz. It was published in the RJJ Journal a number of years ago. And he argued, if I'm not mistaken, that a sandwich is different because sushi stays together while a sandwich doesn't. You could check if that's what he says, though. I'm not sure I would understand that. I think a sandwich, a well-built peanut butter sandwich, might actually hold together as much as sushi does. Anyway, based off of this Magen Avraham, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I think, takes it even one step further in terms of being machmir. And he says, you know, if you remember earlier in the year, we talked about making tzibulaming, that egg salad that was commonly made on Shabbos. And there were a number of halachic issues that we discussed. We discussed tochein, we discussed lush, we discussed memareach. So now we have a new issue to discuss. Maybe it's bona, especially because how is that done? They used to chop up the eggs and, I don't know, let's say mixed it with oil and onions. So let's assume somehow or another you got rid of all the other issues. And then you make it nice and smooth. As I told you, in my family, they had this age-old custom, certainly going back to Europe, where they would make the tzibul on Shabbos, and they would smooth it. It would be nice, a beautiful circle, nice and smooth, called the Shabbos. Is that mutter aser? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's in Siman Pei, sounds like it's aser. He writes that there's an iser of bona by food. He gives the example of gvina, medadek peiros, v'lachein, he says, Kishachotchin bitzalim im beitzim o im chelev dag maluach yesh lizar shalolash vosam liafosam. Since the Magen Avraham said it's awesome anytime you make it nice looking, so you can't make this pretty image of the with your egg salad. You can't smooth it out. Not because of memareach, maybe that too. Memareach, okay. We sign memareach ba'ochel, and it's just a chumra, midas chasidus, tavol avrachad b'machmir. No! Actually, smoothing out the tzibula, the egg salad, to make it nice and smooth and round, that would be an asir of bona. Ella, he says, yanichem kemoshem. Just leave it there, plop it down on the plate, and serve it like that, and shine. So again, there are a number of pikpukim we could have on this ruling. Some of them are expressed in the Orcho Shabbos Parak Zayin Ha'arayod. Number one is maybe, again, it's Dafka Gvina or Igulei Tevela that are long-lasting. Maybe the Pnei Yeshua says it also, as opposed to Tzibula, which is short-lasting. It's so delicious, and you never even have leftovers. Number two is those are much harder. Cheese is a very hard substance. You need a knife to cut it. And certainly Gulei Tevela are very, very hard. So that's maybe more Doma Tabinion. Egg salad, you could take it with a smooth. That's not Doma Tabinion at all. Number three is, again, maybe the Magen Avraham doesn't even agree to this. Maybe he does. But it's only when you are making something that's a yesh miyesh, a new entity, creative, transformative. And again, even though here, again, you started off with eggs and onions and you end up with egg salad, I don't know if that's really transformative in the same way. But there are those that are machmirs we've seen. Now, even according to the machmirim, it's still only going to be true if two conditions are met. Number one is, do you make it on Shabbos? You put the things together. In other words, you mix together, let's say, the eggs and the onions. And two is then you shape it. But let's say it was put together before Shabbos, you're just shaping it. That would be okay. Leaving aside Mimareach and the Chumra of Tavla of Bracha of the Mordechai, the Drobar quotes. Alternatively, if you don't shape it, it's going to be okay. It's only going to be also if you do both things. You both shape it and make it. The minigas we make on these things, people do put out egg salad, tuna salad, and make it nice. As I said, it's hard to, I don't know if I could bring any rice for my family, but my family, again, I'm talking about my grandparents going back to Europe. We seem to be make on this. And the sandwich is going to be l'chora mutter, like we said, according to Magen Avraham, because you're not machadim liyafos l'ashvosa. I think I saw on the OU website that Rav Belsky said that, according to Magen Avraham, it might be okay to make sushi if you don't care about what it looks like. Though I think people do care a lot about what sushi looks like. I think that's part of the shtick of sushi, and that's why they get Japanese people to get dressed up in costumes when they make the sushi. A lot of it has to do with appearance. Some of them look like a work of art. So there, I think you do. I'm certainly mechadin liyafoso. So if you're machmir on this, as I said, Rav Asher Weiss is machmir, at the very least, probably wouldn't be deraisa, but maybe asur midrabanan if it's not, even if it's not considered miskayim, like Yoni pointed out. So it'd still be binyan shenu miskayim, still asur midrabanan. So lemaisa, therefore, probably you shouldn't make sushi on Shabbos. Again, I told you before that the way my family once decided they were going to make sushi, and everything fell apart. So it didn't hold together. So I think the sushi that home people make at home, I don't know, maybe other people are more skillful than we were, is probably not going to be an issue on Shabbos. But the way professionals make sushi, anyone knows what they're doing it. So there's certainly a tzad that it's aser at the Baileys Midrabanan, so you certainly, I think you shouldn't do it on Shabbos. Therefore, you also shouldn't have a guy do it on Shabbos. Again,
could I ask you a question?
Yes.
I have trouble understanding the Magen Avraham's worrying about how nice it looks. If you take bricks and just slip them together with mortar in between, it looks
very... That's what we said before, that it's a simen, it's not a siba. Of course, you're chayv on bone, even if you don't care about the appearance. The point is that here you need something chashuv. And caring about the appearance is something that is a simen that is more shayach to bona. Something's really bona, you don't need it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Something isn't really bona, it's only coming bona, be doma to bona, it's the chashiva shabo. So then it needs those indications that it's going to be chashiv. So again, lamaisa, again, I would recommend, again, making sushi on Shabbos, or even asking a guy to make sushi on Shabbos. Sushi salad would be fine. I don't think it's an issue to rice. It certainly wouldn't be awesome to rice. That we've seen before, who says that anything is short-lived is not asur midrabanan at all. If it's boba yom, then he would even say it's mutter. Sushi salad, though, is okay, because there you're not, it remains in pieces. It's like any salad. It's not merged into a single unit. So that would be certainly okay on Shabbos. Okay, the next thing I want to talk to you about is a plunger, very common shaila. Your toilet gets clogged on Shabbos. Is it mutter to plunge it to clean it? So we've seen earlier in the year the Gemara Ksubis about Tzinor Shalu Bo Kashkashim. So the Gemara over there says, and this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Lamed Vav Siftes, that Mishum Seda, they were Matir Lemaicha Kashkashim Alide Shinoi. There it's talking about some type of drain pipe, I suppose, or gutter that got plugged up, blocked with Kashkashim. And the rain couldn't get out. I guess it was going to cause a leak in your roof or something like that. So you're allowed to fix it with a shinoi, but without a shinoi, it would be usher. So l'chora, maybe we should say the same thing. You want to use a plunger, that's usher. That's not a shinoi. That's the way I fix it during the week. If you want to fix your clogged toilet in some other way with a shinoi, fine. Maybe that would be mutter. But just like we say that without a shinoi, tiner shalbo kashkashim is usher to fix on Shabbos, so too it should be usher to use a plunger on Shabbos. And in fact, there are those who hold that way. The question of the plunger is a big machlokas among the contemporary poskim. So the machmirim hold that because the blockage in your toilet renders the drain pipe unusable and broken, so therefore fixing it would be a problem of bone marrow macropodition, and would be usher. So how could anyone be lenient on this? They say, no, come on, this is not really broken. It got clogged up a little bit. That doesn't make something broken. Let's imagine, for example, every time you didn't have a flusher in your toilet, you just plunged it, right? So that would surely be mutter. Ramosha compares it to washing dirty dishes, meaning to say it's not really broken. This is something that nobody sees a clogged toilet as a broken toilet. So everybody would agree if it's really broken, if it's not easy to fix. Let's say you needed to use a snake, so to clear it, a plunger wasn't really loosening the clog, right? A plunger is not going to work if it's really broken, if it's really stuffed. A plunger works when it's like a little bit of a blockage. So then we will see the Mechilim say that's not considered broken. But if it's really broken, you need a snake, you need a plumber or something like that. So then for sure, that would be Asar and Shabbos. And therefore, what they say basically is that this is not like Tzinor at the Mechilim. It's not like Tzinor Shel Bo Kashkashim. There, it's really broken, and therefore we only permit it with a Shinoi. And even that's a special leniency. Here, can't really say your toilet is broken, your pipes are broken. If all you need is a couple of plunges with a plunger to fix it, it's not really broken. It just needs a little shove. Whereas the Kashkashim, apparently, were Mevatel, the Tzura of the pipes, of the drain pipe, of the gutter. And that's why it's usser, without a shinoi. Now, what we see over here is how difficult it is to decide whether something is considered broken or not. And to appreciate how ambiguous this is and sometimes difficult to figure it out, my brother-in-law, Rabbi Yitzhak Grossman, gave the following analogy. He said, or not analogy, all right, he says, we'll see this actually next. The Chai Adam writes that winding a stopped watch is an issue del Raisa, because you're taking something that's not functional and therefore effectively broken, and you're fixing it. So it's very hard to see how a stopped watch is, fixing a stopped watch is chayev, but plunging a stuffed toilet is mutter, right? Intuitively, at least, I would have thought that a stopped watch is a lot less broken than a stuffed toilet. And in fact, you could argue with that chaye adam, as we'll see in a moment, though generally we are machmir for that chayla. So it's very hard to not sometimes be magdir exactly what's considered broken and need a fix, and what's considered just part of normal operations, which is, generally speaking, mutter. Again, the most extreme example of that is the Chazon Ish that we talked about in terms of electricity. So halacha l'maaseh, what do we say about the plunger? Rav Moshe's makel, if it's normal, if it's common, in mudavar matzoi, ein ze inyan kilkol v'tikun v'yesh lahatir, gam b'kfifas shiva, kipas shiva, which is a plunger. That's Rav Moshe, by the way, or achayim chelak dalad simen mem. So Rav Moshe says it depends. If you frequently have a stuffed toilet, you need to use a plunger to fix it. So he says that's nothing. That's not broken. As I said, he compares it to hadachas kelim, latar shabbos, it's mutter. Whereas, if it's very rare that your toilet got stuck, you know, once in a year, once in 6 months, then it would be yasser. The Menachos Yitzchak Helekesim and Ayin Hey is also no to lahakal v'shasat chak, like you only have one bathroom in the house. Because the Kavod HaBrios, Lamaisa, even if it is Asher Midrabanan, we're Mekel because the Kavod HaBrios, not to have a working toilet in the bathroom in the house is the Kavod HaBrios, Shaila. So, you know, if you have two bathrooms in the house, So then wait till after Shabbos. What do you need to do it on Shabbos for? It's a big shayla. But if you have one bathroom in the house, so then it's a shayla kavod HaBrios. There's much more room for leniency. Because Menachos Yitzchak thinks this isn't an issur d'oraisa, unless it's mamish nistam b'chozek. It's very, very tightly obstructed. And if it's tightly obstructed, then anyway, a plunger won't fix it. Now, if there's anything that a plunger will work on, is at most in Issur d'Rabbanan, and Issur d'Rabbanan or Mekel Mam Kavod HaBrios. Shlomo Zalman also is Mekel. He thinks it's not considered Mekulkel, it's just a stima. If you want more on this topic, take a look either at the Shabbos homepage 420 or the Orcho Shabbos page Reish Ayin Dalad. Lamais, I think there's room for leniency when there's no other option. But if there is another option, like I said, you have two toilets in the house, so then it's better to be machmir. Okay, you might have to wait in line a little bit, but better to be machmir since it is it's not pasha to be mekel. Of course, if you want to be machmir and do it anyway, you could do it with a shinoi. In other words, we could definitely, if you're able to plunge your toilet with a shinoi, then you could do that. That would be mamish like tzino shalabal kashkashim. So how would you do it with a shinoi? So Sadlovsky, he didn't rule lahachmir, but he said he personally was machmir on a shayla. So he said on many occasions he used his mouth to operate the plunger. That I think grossed out some of the people in the shir. So if you're not disgusted by that, then perhaps, and you're able to do that and you think it's healthy, then perhaps that would be better. But lamaisa, you could be makel and some on the makilim where you don't have another good option. If you do have a good option, like I said, you have another bathroom, so then probably it's better to be machmir.
I assume that means that he thinks that using your left hand would be an insufficient shinui.
No, I don't think so. I don't think for this. Again, we talked about this earlier before. It is a machlokas, but as we noted, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Chayadim, who says that basically for almost all other malachos besides kosev, left hand isn't a shinui. You know, I think if you could figure out a way to use your elbow or your armpit or something like that, if you could do it between your toes, that would be a valid shinui. So there might be better ways than using your mouth, but simply using your left hand, pashtus wouldn't apply. You know, if you wanted to use your left hand as an additional sniff for the mekilim, that left hand is usually a shinui, so you can throw that in. Okay, so we said before we're going to talk about the question of the zeiger now. Zeiger's a watch. So this discussion about using the watch, now, by the way, this is used to be at least a very common question when people, when all the watches needed to be wound on Shabbos. We'll see, though, there are some, first of all, we have to talk about it because Gabe's here, and Gabe is only uses watches that are 100 years old and need to be wound. Without that, because we'll see some other applications of this, that are still relevant. So as I said, it starts with the Rashi and Erevin. The Gemara over there is talking about the fixing instruments in the base of Mikdash and Shabbos. And the Gemara there says that the way it should be done is Mishal Shel Melamata V'Korich Melamala, which means that, at least the way Rashi seems to be understanding it, is you unwind, this is talking about a kinor that broke. So you unwind the string from the lower knob and you wind it up with the upper part. And you tighten the string until it produces the correct note. Not exactly sure what that means, but basically, you know, it's very similar to tuning a guitar, what we see people do all the time, tuning a guitar. So an interesting shaila with tuning a guitar being Nesher Deraisa. So sounds like from Rashi that it would be. Lashon Nizdaha, Mishal Shel Nami, when you loosen the string, Av Melacho, the Misakin Kli, Kilchoso, because that's a Tikkun Kli, and now it plays properly, and therefore it would be an Isser Deraisa under normal circumstances, at the very least, to tighten or loosen the strings on a musical instrument. So Chayadim says, this is in Klal Mem Dalet Sif Yotas, Ulfimash Kosav Rashi Be'erven, Dikshe Nifsak Nima Umegalgal Hayaseid Milamala Ad Shemarech Umagiel Yaseid Shalmata the korchavo have av melacha de misake mana alkein lefiza aser laharich zayger shekayin andrein shezed dome mamish lezet vimkein aser gamkein lomar lenachri laricho says the chayadim according to Rashi winding your watch setting your watch would be an iser de raisa. Just like Rashi says, by the instrument, tightening the strings, and therefore you also couldn't ask a guy to do it either. So the question is, how exactly is this similar to the case of the instrument of the string of the instrument that broke? You know, it's not very tightening. You know, it's true that when you wind a watch, what you're doing is tightening the springs, But still, the chora, they're not at all comparable. But when you tune an instrument, you're fixing a broken instrument. So the answer seems to be that the Chai Adam is looking at a stopped watch as a broken watch. And therefore, even though it's not totally broken, but it's not working now. And therefore, when you twist it and you tighten it, now it works. So Huadin, when you tighten the string of an instrument, also it's not totally broken, but when you tighten it, you're fixing it, you're making it work. And therefore, it's an Issur D'oraisa. That seems to be the way the Chai Adam is looking at it. Maisa, many Achronim disagree with this Chai Adam. He says, first of all, this is not really broken. A stopwatch isn't broken. Watches are designed, okay, in theory, it would be great to have a watch that never needed to be wound. In fact, now they might have such watches, but practically speaking, it's not the pshat that every time your watch stops, it's broken. It's meant to do that. It's meant to last for a certain amount of time, and then it stops if you don't wind it. The way the Chai Adam puts it is like this, and there the Chazon Ish puts it. This is Chazon Ish, Simen Nen Os Tes. V'ine Hasa, meaning Rashi and Erevin, V'kricha Chashibonim, Mishum Shemenichol Yolam. Are you going to leave it that way? There, again, the string of the instrument broke or something like that. You just pull the new string. That's meant to be a permanent fix. Even if you're going to say the kricha is rafu, you're leaving it there forever. You're fixing your violin. So then, it's meant to stop. There's no chibur prakim at all. Now, it happens to be the Chazon Ish thinks it's usher for a different reason, because you're creating koach that causes the gears to turn, as we saw when we discussed the Chazon Ish's shita on electricity. But for our purposes, we already mentioned in that shiur that most poskim don't accept the Chazon Ish. Most poskim assume that using electricity on Shabbos is only usher midrabanan if there's no other issues. And likewise, the Chazon Ish is really making a very potent critique on the Chazon Ish is making a very potent critique on Chai Adam, which is this isn't really broken. This is just part of normal usage. And therefore, how can we see that as Makabe Padish or Bona? The Shart Sihan, Shin Lamed Ches, Os Tes Vav, quotes the Prima Gadim, that's Machmir by winding the watch. Though, if you look at the Prima Gadim, he's only Machmir because of the issues of Hashmas Kol, if you're talking about like a cuckoo clock. But a regular watch, it sounds like you would be okay with. So there are a number of Achronim that are Mekel. Chief among them is the Panim Eros, which is quoted in the Prima Gadim Eshel Abam Shin Ches Os Ayin Ches. The Ayvitz says it's Asar Mitam Minhag. Take a look at the Orcho Shabbos, page Reish Tadi Vav, who quotes the Poskim on this topic. Let's say for a moment that we are Machmir. Just 1 second, Moshe, I'll just finish this point. Let's say we are Machmir on the watch, but what about other things that basically are the same type of mechanical power and spring like a watch? So, for example, winding a baby swing or wind-up toys. But I think the most common question that people have about this are mechanical baby swings. So the way these swings work is that you wind them just like a watch. You go in a circle, wind. That, I guess, tightens a spring or something. It puts pressure. Now there's that mechanical energy that causes the swing to swing for, 5 or 10 minutes, and then it stops. So, okay, a watch, might last for a day or two, and this only lasts for 5 or 10 minutes. But mechanically, I think it's more or less identical to a watch. So maybe we'd have to nachmir over here. Or no. Maybe we'll say conceptually this is totally different than a watch. Because a watch, at the very least, I could see is broken when it stops, right? Really, the way a person normally will use their watch, if they're don't forget, is they'll never let their watch stop, then they'll lose the time. They'll just always wind the watch to make sure it remains wound and their clock keeps good time. So therefore, at least you could sort of imagine what the Chai Adam is saying, that a stopwatch is broken, because it should, ideally, if used correctly, never stop. Mashain Kain, if you look at the wind-up swing, so there, nobody would think that when it stops, it's broken. It's not really meant to perpetually swing. and therefore, therefore it would be okay. And there are a number of Mechilim on this. I think Rosh Hashanah is Mako. Chazon Ish would still have his other issue with it, but I think many poskim don't accept that. Take a look at the Orach HaShabbos page 299. I think that many are Mako, and that seems reasonable. Yes, Ramosha.
Yeah, you were distinguishing, comparing the watch to a musical instrument, but then in the case of the musical instrument, they're having a string broken versus being out of tune seem to be two very different things.
That's true. Let's assume that according to Rashi, for a moment, even if it just needs to be tightened, it would be aser. You see, I don't want to get into this that much. It's a little tricky, and you're correct. I was sort of fudging that issue. Rashi says like this, though. Da mishalshel nami av melachahi de misaken kli kilchaso. In other words, even if you're not, and this is really what the chayadim is coming off of, even if all you're doing is mishalshel, which I assume is loosening it or lowering it, lowering the string, that's also av melacha because it's misaken kli.
So mishalshel does not mean putting on the new string?
I think that's where the chayadim is coming from. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Not 100% sure of this metzius. Okay.
Really?
Another case that the postman discussed this is putting together a syringe. Meaning to say you need to give a shot on Shabbos, let's say. We talked about before when we did shots that probably a muscular shot on Shabbos would be mutter. But some thought that putting the two pieces of the syringe together, the syringe is made out of two parts. It's made out of it has like the plunger piece and then the actual, the syringe / holder. That would be Asher. There's a Minchas Yitzchak, I think he was known to Lahachmir on the Shaila. There's a back and forth between Shlomo Zalman and the Minchas Yitzchak about this topic, or Shlomo Zalman's Mako. Now the Machmirim say, well, yes, true, it's Rafoi. But Rafoi is also when you're making something into a kli for the first time, as we said before, by the fluff and the pillow. So Rishol Zalman is Mekel. It's also quoted in Shirin Shabbos Kilchasa and in Orach HaShabbos, page 293. And they basically say, no, this is simply using a kli. The kli was made in a factory. Like we said before from Rishol Zalman, normal usage is not, cannot be construed as Makveh Patish or Boneh, just like Magen Avraham says, you're allowed to open and close the cans, even if you do it in a very tight way. So we wouldn't see this as building a syringe, creating a syringe. The syringe is made, the syringe is created. All you're doing is putting two pieces together. Shlomo Zalman even compares this, is a very interesting comparison. He says it's Ka'osa Kise Mlach Tzotz Boshinov Al Das Lazarko Achar Kach L'Ashba. So I think what he's referring to is, if you remember, we saw by Mechatech that it was okay to make a toothpick to clean your teeth as long as you made it from something that was edible to an animal. If it was not made from food, like you used a twig, then it would be Aseraltz Mechatech, but even then it wouldn't be Aseraltz Tikkun Mana. And if it was made out of something that was animal food, like a straw or something that an animal would eat, so then it's mutter to make that toothpick on Shabbos. It wouldn't be considered Tikkun Mana. And again, there's no, it's not just because it's food, because we know there's no blanket heter about food for a bona. So must be. And now the question is, how far would he go with this? But it almost sounds like he thinks that if you make something that's disposable, that wouldn't be considered tikkun mana. In other words, when you're osa kise machtos boshinov, and then you're just zarko immediately afterwards, that wouldn't be tikkun mana. And likewise, when it comes to these disposable syringes, that's exactly what you're doing. You're taking these two pieces together, you make the syringe, you use the syringe, and then you throw it out immediately into the sharps when you're done. That could not be considered tikkun mana. If you want to take a look, then Chashlomo, Chelek Basin, and you test. And again, I think that dimyon to the kisim is quite fascinating. Another shaila that comes up, people wonder about, is raising or lowering those adjustable stenders. Now, the reason why these are shailas is because the way they work, at least some of them, is that let's say you wanted to raise it. So you loosen the knob or two knobs usually, you pull it up, and then you tighten these two knobs, and now it's at a new height. Now the knobs are basically bolts. They're bolts, you know, they don't, you might not realize that they're a bolt, but basically it's a bolt. So maybe that's an Isser. Maybe it should even be Isser Daraisa, like Tokaya. So the reason why I think it's Mutter is it's like the Magen Avraham and the Tazbei containers, right? Just like we saw that by the jars, even though, again, you're Tokaya, it's Mutter, because you're opening and closing them constantly. We saw three different reasons, three different ways to explain that Magen Avraham and Tazbei, the mice, it's Mutter. So this too should be Mutter. Now, a similar question would apply for adjustable fans. Moving a fan on Shabbos should be okay, even if a fan is Klishim Achol Yisr. But it's L'tzach Gufo. Right now, the fan's facing the wrong direction. I want it to face me, so it should be Mutter to move the fan. Over the summer, we talked about moving a light. We thought some poskim are mach nearby lights because of an issue of the Shal Hefes and the buses and the like. We said, L'chora, then if you're having an LED light or an incandescent light, it might be Mutter to move the light on Shabbos. But certainly a fan would be Mutter to move around on Shabbos to a place where it would be more useful, like blowing at you. But what about raising and lowering the fan? So different fans work differently, but some fans work just like the Stenders, where you have the fan, there's a bolt, you loosen it, and then you put it in a direction you want, like facing up or facing straight or facing down, and then you tighten it. There's more old-fashioned types, I think. Would that be Mutter or Asur on Shabbos? I would have thought it's exactly the same thing as the Stender. I saw, though, that the Orchel Shabbos, page 288, very interestingly, is machmir by the fans and makel by the stenders. Why? Why should there be a difference? This is an interesting svara, which is that when you loosen the fan, if you loosen that bolt, what happens if you were to let go? It would just be facing straight down or almost straight down to the floor. It would basically be useless. As opposed to the stender, when you loosen a bolt on the stender, so it's not useless, it's still functional at its lowest level. It's never nearly non-functional. So therefore, he's machmir by the fans, matir by the stenders. It's a chiddush because, you know, you could have tried to argue that the Magen Avraham's theory also applies here. He's saying it doesn't because it becomes nearly unusable even for a temporary short term. Again, I think that's a big chiddush, and I'm not even so sure that his metzius is true because it is still usable, okay, when you totally loosen it, so then it's just going to blow down. If you're sitting on the floor, you would use it at its lowest setting. So I'm not totally convinced, but maybe one should be machmir on that as well. As I said, I think in a lot of the more newer fans, it's not as much of an issue. In other words, you don't have to loosen a bolt or tighten a bolt. You just bend them down or bend them up, and they keep their direction throughout. Taking a drawer out of a dresser. So the Orchel Shabbos says, this is page 268, that it depends. If the dresser is 40 sa, which isn't uncommon for a big dresser, so then it would be aser, because even though the drawer is considered rafoi, but rafoi is aser when it's 40 sa or more. We did see that the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Rashba would be mekel and the Bir Halacha, but he's only mekel with Shas Adchak. So it's usually isn't a Shas Adchak. Why do you need to take the drawer out? Or if you did take the drawer out by accident, let's say you pulled the drawer out, you couldn't put it back in. But if it's less than 40 sa, it should be mutter, because it lemais it's rafoi. He only points out that if there's like a trap in the drawer, some drawers have a trap that prevent you from pulling them all the way out. So then that might be aser midrabbanan to put it back even less than 40 sa. Usually the good part is that when you have those traps, you don't accidentally pull them out anyway. Okay, so now we're going to turn to the main part of today's shiur, which I guess we're probably not going to have too much time to do properly, but at least let's introduce a topic, and that is the issue of ohel. So ohel is a tolda of bona. What's the difference between ohel and bona? So it's actually not clear. The Rishonim, as far as I know, don't really tell you what the difference between ohel and bona is. Why is one an av and one a tolda? And it's not just a academic question of whether it's the av or the tolda, but actually we'll see it might be a practical question because there are certain differences in halacha between ohel and boneh. We'll see, for example, that at least when it's an ol arai, if you're just making walls, it's a mutter for ohel, but if it's boneh, it would be aser. Even if it's boneh arai to make a wall. So we need to figure out what's the definition of ohel and what's the definition of boneh. Do we have any answers to that question? So as I mentioned, the Achronim give a number of different possibilities. The Pnei Yeshua, this is Sukkah Tazan and Beis, says the difference between an ohel. And again, just to clarify, there's an Isser D'Orais of Binyan Kavuan, Isser D'Rabbanan of Binyan Arai, let's assume, and there's an Isser D'Orais of all Kavuan, Isser D'Rabbanan of all Arai. So the difference between ol and boneh, l'chora, can't just be how long it lasts, because there's both ol kavua ol arai and boneh kavua boneh arai. So therefore, we need a more fundamental difference in terms of trying to understand what's the difference between ohel and boneh. So the Pnei Yeshua Sukkah Tazayin says that a binyan is more kavua. I think he means more of like a permanent structure, like a house. And an ohel is more of a temporary structure. It's meant to be moved, like a tent or something like that. The lashon is, Dikra chiluk shebein binyan ohel hainu. The lashon binyan shayich bevinyan kavua. Shemiskan liyamin rabim ha'shein kein ohel. Legabe binyan have binyan arai. Ella de'afilu hachi chayif mishum tolda debona. Kshedera kevan shederach ohel bekach. Very interesting idea. In other words, nobody makes a house to last for 30 days. So therefore, if you made a 30-day house, it would not be asma d'oraisa. But people do make tents all the time to last for 30 days. And therefore, if it's a tent, it would be chayev. It would be considered an ohel kavua. You know, this is sort of reminiscent of what we saw by the Rashba, by Sikra, who said that Sikra is chayev mishum kosev, even though it doesn't last so long, the ink doesn't last, because that's the way people use it. They use it for, say, for Zechronos or whatever it is. So here too, that's the difference. Now, so interesting. First of all, stama interesting hara, which is why isn't, when they built the Mishkan, why don't we say that's Ohel, right? Now, why is Ohel the Tolda, not the Av? L'chora, the Mishkan should have been an Ohel. First of all, it's called an Ohel. But second of all, is meant to, you know, be put up and taken apart, and sometimes taken apart very quickly. So why was the Mishkan a boneh, a shail of boneh, not a shail of ohel? So the answer is what the Yerushalmi that we saw earlier said, that the Adanim are kekarkahein, meaning to say that even though the Mishkan was a building that was meant to move, it was still a building. I imagine those crushing probably weighed hundreds of pounds. So therefore, really the structure of the Mishkan was a binyan type structure, not an ohel type structure. Now you still have a shaila, but it's not miskayim, to which we saw the Yerushalmi discuss that and conclude that either you don't need Miskayim, or this is considered Miskayim because Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. Anyway, that's the, now again, another Ha'ara on this Pnei Yeshua, a little bit of a difficulty that we'll see. The Magen Avraham sort of sounds like this, is the Gemara in Be'a, along the Beis Mubeis, that says that when you make those walls for the toilet, right, let's say make a little toilet seat out of bricks, you pile up some stones in a circle or something like that, it's a shail of boneh, not ohel. Now, l'chora, I would have thought that's a very temporary type structure. So if you learn like the Pnei Yeshua, that a temporary type structure is really a shail of ohel, not boneh, then why is it a boneh over there? Anyhow, along similar lines, but not identical, the Kilos Yaakov, Simon Lamed Zion, says that the difference is that boneh is something mechubar l'karka, ohel isn't mechubar l'karka. Again, l'chora, even though the Mishkan wasn't mechubar l'karka, you'd have to say, like the Yerushalmi, that the Krushim made it considered halachically like it was mechubar l'karka. I think, though, the most straightforward mahalich This is basically the Mahalif that the Mishnah Berurah writes, Simon Shin Tesvav Sif Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah discusses Ohel and Shin Tesvav. The Avin Hazel sort of discusses this versus Alman Meltzer with a little more Arichos. And it's in Perek Yud of the Rambam, Hilcha Shabbos, Halacha Yud Zayin. And he says that the Yisod of Bona is the Chibur of Avanim or Krashim Zelazeh, such that you make a building. And Ohel is making a Makom Muvdal Yidei Rios. Now, they say really more than one factor, but I think the Ikar Chiluk is, what are you making this out of? If you're making this out of bricks or stones or wood or planks, then it's a Shaila Bona. If you're making this out of cloth or the like, then it's a Shaila of Ohel. Ohel might also generally, he says, the Evan Ozel is not mechuber from many pieces. It's usually just one piece or a couple of pieces, like in a cloth tent. But that's the Ikar Chiluk. That's the Ikar Chiluk. Chiluk is that bone is something you made out of wood, make out of wood or bricks. Ohel is something you make out of curtains or the like. And that's why the Mishkan would have been a bone shaila. I mean, there's curtains covering it, but the walls were built out of wood. That's why making the toilet seat out of stones would be a bone shaila, because it's made out of stones. So I think that's the easiest way to read that Gemara. So the Gemara says, for example, that putting a pot on top of a bunch of kederos would be a shaila of Ohel. It's not a shaila of bone, shaila of Ohel. Now Rashi over there tells us that when it comes to the Isser of Ohel, there's no Isser in terms of making walls, only in terms of making the roof. Ohel is a shaila of making the roof. At least Ohel Arai is a shaila of making the roof, the Isser of Rabbanan of Ohel. Tosus agrees to that. He just thinks that there's one exception to that rule, which is sometimes mechitzas are aser, it's a mechitza materes, and we'll get back to those halachos soon. Those are very practical halachos, especially very common shaila of wanting to make a wall to be matir tashmish shamit on Shabbos. We'll get to that soon. But basically, you need to make a roof to be aser mishum ohel arai. Now the Magen Avraham, Shin Yud Gimel Zion, and other posts can make this point that distinction that we just made between walls and roof is only within Ohel Arai. Meaning to say, when it comes to the Isser D'Rabbanan of Ohel Arai, so then we say it's only the roof. Or according to Tosafos, we'll see even it's only walls plus roof. But when it comes to the Isser D'Arai of Ohel Kavua, so then that could be just walls. Okay, we'll get back to that a little bit of a moment. But let's start with the Gemara in Kof Lam Chasam Daleth. So Abaye told us a bunch of rules, mostly related to Ohel. He said that sometimes it's fire, sometimes it's potter, sometimes it's mutter. So if you make an Ohel Kava, so that's an Isser D'Oraisa. Then he says the middle case of potter l'aser, so there's a list of things, a good is a sort of an interesting thing. It's some type of canteen made out of animal hide. They would put wine in it. You know, we think of bringing water on our hikes, but they used to bring wine. So, and then, you know, when you got to the place where you'd rest, you would spread it out. It seems to have legs of some sort, yesedos. So you would spread it out, and then the cool air would go below it and on top of it, and that would chill your wine. That's what a good is. So that's Pater Veloser, and Mishameres is Pater Veloser. Mishameres is laying out, let's say, a cloth to filter your wine or your water. Now Rashi actually, Kuflan the Testament base, says that that's not Aser alt Ohel. It's Aser alt because we're afraid you're going to be Mishamer. But many other Rishonim over here, like the Ramban, say it's Aser alt Ohel. A kila, some type of canopy. That's Aser Mishum Ohel. We'll see in a moment. Kise Galen. That's, again, according to Rashi at least. Rashi doesn't think all these things are Aser Alts Ohel. So Rashi says Kise Galen is Xerushem Yitaka. But Tosus thinks they're all Aser Alts Ohel. So a Kise Galen, because it's Mimata Lamala, you first make the walls, then the part that you sit on in a chair, it's Aser Alts Ohel. All these are Aser D'Rabban, not Tzavah. And then, what's Mutter? So, Amita, Rashi says, because it's only Liyasuva Ba'alma, Kise Trasko, some type of folding chair, or an Asla, a potty, also like a folding chair with a hole in the middle. So all these are Mutter L'Chatchila. Why are they Mutter L'Chatchila? Why aren't they an Ohel? So Rashi explains, D'Avid V'Kai. Sounds like what he's saying is that they're basically made when you unfold a folding chair. So it's Avid V'Kai, it's basically made, you're just opening it, and that's why it's Mutter. So when you're in Utam, there's no Isser of Ohel Arai, except when there's Mechitzos, like we said before. If it's just a roof, it's mutter. Just mechitzos, it's mutter. It's only mat aser olarai if you first make walls, then mechitzos. That's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashba asks, how could that be? We just said good is aser, that type of funny wine canteen. That didn't have any walls. It just had a roof. Now, Chazanish Nun Beis, Aleph Beis says, well, Tosfos would probably concede that if you're moteach, if you spread something out, it's anyway aser. Tosis was only saying his rule when you're not spreading something out, like putting barrels or making a bonfire or the like. Anyway, but according to Rashba, you see from that Gemara of Good that it's Aser even without Mechitzos. So the Rashba says in Rabbeinu Yona, when is it Mutter, when is it Aser? Anytime you need the Chalal Shetachtav, then it's Mutter, then it's Aser D'Rabbanan. Anytime you don't need the chalal shetachtav, in other words, you don't need the areas, you're not using the space underneath it, then it's mutter. What's the difference between ohel kavua and ohel arai? One, as we said, is also the rice, and one is the rabbanan. So the Gemara said in Perek Tolin that there's an iser Bona the ohel. There's a chiluk between ohel kavu and ohel arai. So what's the difference? How do we know? What's the difference? So l'chor it's talui in the time. In other words, right? If I say what's the difference ohel kavu, what's the difference between ohel arai? Ohel arai, that's also drabanan. Sorry, there's a lot going on here. What's the difference between ohel kavu and ohel arai? That it depends how long it's going to last. That's the pashtas. But the Rif sounds like he's giving a different answer to this question, and this is very, very important. Thank you. I'm in the middle of shiur, these guys. The Rif says a very different difference, which is very, very important. The Rif sounds like he's saying, and also the Rambam, that an ol kavua is when it's more than a tefach, and l'chor ol arai, which is also the Rabbanan, is less than a tefach. The Rif talks about this in the example of talis kfulam, kuflam ad chas amad aleph. Right? The Gemara there says, Tani Rami bar Yechezkel, talis kfula lo yasev im asa pat v'lasar. So what's this talis kfula? Why is it potter? Because it's less than a tefach. So all arai means less than a tefach, all kavua means more than a tefach. That's what the Rif, again, it's nun vav and beis p'tapi, Rif seems to be saying. So how do you get this idea? Where is it coming from? L'chori, the Rif got it from the regular halachos of ohel, right? If you learn mesachos olos. So it's a halachos mosh misinai, the shear for an ohel, let's see, to be mevius atama, or to be mafsik with neatama, parshas shavua. So that's a tefach. So the Rif reasoned, well, who adin fachos Shabbos? And again, the Rambam Perek Chaf Beis Halacha Chaf Tes seems to learn that way as well. The Rush, though, Perek Chaf Simon Beis, strongly disagrees. He says that there is, first of all, an Isser. There shouldn't be an Isser Drabbanan if it's less than the Tefach, right? According to the Rif, if all arise less than the Tefach, so then there's an Isser Drabbanan less than the Tefach. And the case of Kilas Chasanim on Koflam Chasim Beis, there it's Mutter, even though it's less, because it's less than the Tefach. Kilas Chasanim is a very strange type of very, very pointy canopy that was presumably more for decorative use. It's Mutter because it's less than the Tefach. So how could the Rif and the Rambam understand that? So actually, if you look at the Rambam over there in Halacha Lamed, he does address that question. And he says, the reason why Kiyus Chasanim is mutter is because it's mesukenes lakach. So that is mutter for a different reason, because it's mesukenes lakach. What does mesukenes lakach mean? If you look at the Magen Avraham, shin tes vav sivkan tes zayin, it means it was huchan lakach, which the Machsa Shekel says, that means aide machshava, the lehush esrad, says it's eno nirikol kach kaminyan. Not clear exactly, but they have some other reason why kilos chasanim is going to be mutter. So again, according to the Rif, the Milo, of course, the Pshat in the Rif is, it's very obvious what's the difference between Ol Kavu and Ol Arai. We have a simple answer. The answer is tefach, less than a tefach, or more than a tefach. If you learn like the Rush, so then you have to figure out, well, what is the difference between Ol Kavu and Arai? Why is one deraisa, why is one derabanan? So, l'chora, the answer is, like we've been saying until now, how long it's planning to last, how long are you going to leave it there for? A much more difficult type of thing to gauge. Okay, so how do we paskin? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Tes Vav Siv Ches, he seems to paskin like the Rif and the Rambam. So therefore, l'chora, there's an Ishtar Rabban even less than a Tefach, unless it's Asur L'kach. Now, is that the only factor? No, this again. What's the pshat in the Rif? Is the Rif saying, the Rambam saying, that any time it's more than a tefach, it's automatically after derais? Is that what they're saying? Or is it possible they would agree also it has to be tali in time? After all, the words arai and kavua imply that it's related to some degree to time. So this is a very, very famous machlokas achronim. It's known generally as the machlokas between the Notam Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer. The Notam Yehuda, Madura Tanyana Simen Lamed, says that yes, the Rif, we should understand them kipshuta more than a tefach as an ol kavah and sinser derisa, regardless of how long you're going to put it up for, as long as it's a tefach. And that's why the Notam Yehuda thinks that opening an umbrella is potentially an iser derisa according to the Rif and Rambam, because you're making an ol, it's more than a tefach, and even though you're going to put down your umbrella after a couple minutes or hours, you'll unfold it. But still, an umbrella, or what they call a parasol, is an iser de oraisa, according to the Rif and Rambam. Or the Rosh, it wouldn't be aser, because it's not short, long-lasting. But according to the Rif, the Rambam, that the only koveh is a tefach, so then we're dealing with an iser de oraisa when you open up an umbrella on Shabbos. Now, the problem is, a Gemara in Erevin, Kluf Beis Med Aleph, there it's saying that you want to put some type of canopy over your animals so they don't schwitz in the sun. And as long as it was already partially opened and extended a tefach before Shabbos, it's mutter because you're being mosif al ol arai. So according to the Rif, that doesn't make any sense because it's an ol kava. It's more than a tefach. What is he talking about? Why is it called ol arai? So the notability says, al karz l'chol, we have to have some other criteria to make it asar mideraisa, to make it ol kavu according to the Rif. And his answer is, it must be machitzos. The reason why that case over there is they're just putting the canopy over their animals to protect them from the sun, then it's only a derabanan shayla because there's no machitzos. But if there is machitzos and there's a gag tefach, then it's an isha deraisa regardless, right? So that's what an isha deraisa is, machitzos plus tefach. As opposed to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, a Simenayin base, disagrees with this Mahalach Lanot Yehuda. He says, no, the whole Kasha from there doesn't make sense. Your answer, there's nothing with Mechitzos. Nobody says anything about Mechitzos. The reason why over there it's an Ol Arai is because it's you every morning, because of the sun, you put the canopy on top, and every evening in the nighttime, you open it up because it's better for them to have a sleep under the stars. And even the Rif certainly agrees that to be deraisa it needs some type of permanence. How could you call it ol keva without that? And in that case, the Mahalicha, the Rif, and the Rambam isn't that different from the Rush. The Isser deraisa is tefach plus kayama. Chassam Sofer brings the Rai from the Yushalmi by Mishkan, which we talked about at the very beginning, and Ein Sham for that discussion about Binyan L'shah. So how do we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Lamed Daled sounds like even when we paskin like the Rif and Rambam, that keva means a tefach, it also has to be long-lasting. The lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is dafka, kesha, so, keva, avalarai, then it's only asmi d'rabbanan. So Chora, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't accept the Noda Behuda's theory that according to the Riv and Rambam, if you have a Tefach plus Mechitzas, you're dealing with an Isser D'Oraisa, even if it's very short-lived. As I said, the Iker place where this discussion comes up is with respect to an umbrella on Shabbos. Because according to Noda Behuda, it might be an Isser D'Oraisa. Again, according to the Rush, an umbrella is certainly not an Isser D'Oraisa because it's very temporary. But according to the Riv and Rambam, maybe it should be also D'Oraisa because there's a Gag Tefach. Well, didn't we say that the Noda Behuda says you need Mechitzas? So he says, yeah, but an umbrella has Mechitzas. I don't know what type of umbrella he had. Maybe it was more like those umbrellas that you see nowadays that people have that that sort of have a vertical component to them as well. So there are mechitzos on an umbrella. Now, they're not mechitzos that reach the ground. So the Rebbe says, that's the shaila that I don't know of. When the Rif and the Rambam hold that if it's a gag tefach plus mechitzos, it's an issur d'oraisa, even if it's temporary, is that only when the mechitzos reaching the ground, in which case an umbrella wouldn't be an Isser D'Oraisa. We know in other places in Halacha, Mechitza Tluya isn't a Mechitza, like in Sukkah and Erevin. Or do we say no, that for these purposes, it would, if it has a Mechitza, even if it's not Megillah Karka, it would be an Isser D'Oraisa, in which case an umbrella that has some sort of Mechitza, plus it's a Gag, would be an Isser D'Oraisa. And as I said, the Chassam Sofer says no. Well, there's no deraisa shaila, and it's probably much of a rabbanan talking up an umbrella on Shabbos. First of all, because it's temporary, it's not asi l'skayim. Second of all, because he thinks it's not a mechitza at all, it's a mechitza tluya. And even though we'll see that there's an iser derabbanan at the very least, anytime it's mahil, even without mechitzos. But here, first of all, it's over mimakom lemakom, and more important, which is another reason why it's not mechitzos. But more importantly, and this is the point that the Chazon Ish stresses, siman nun beis sif kan vav. This is going to be like the case of kisei traskal. Kisei traskal, like we said, the folding chair of sorts. It just opens and closes. That's not a shaila of ohel. So just like your folding chair isn't an ohel, an umbrella isn't an ohel. Therefore, at least mikra din should really be mutter. Take a look at the Ishul Avram, Siman Shin Tesvav, Sif Katan Ches, he quotes Achronim that are Machmir. What about Kisei Traskel? So he says, no, Kisei Traskel is different because in the case of Kisei Traskel, the case of, please come back. In the case of Kisei Traskel, so you just open it and close it, maybe something more like a folding chair. Whereas in the case of the umbrella, the parasol, there's like a lot of things you need to do there, ritzuos and the like, which makes you realize when you're reading that Eshel Avram that their parasols are not exactly like our umbrellas, which just, you know, press a button and it totally pops open. And that's also Mavur in the Bir Halach over here, Siman Shin Tesvav Sif Ches. He writes, Ve'eno Domo L'Kisei Traskel, the reason why we're machmir for umbrellas, at least midrabanan, it's not like the Kisei Traskel, is the Hasam Eino Ose Shemaisu B'Shabbos Rak Shemarchiv Uposhe Takmatim Shahibo Miesmo Mashein Kein Bezeh Shetzach Likshar Oso B'Ritzuos Achar Prisaso. After you open up your parasol, you have to tie it down in some way, wrap it up. I don't know exactly what it looked like. Uledavko Acharkach Mitachtav B'Chut Shel Barzel. So these are some type of non-automatic umbrellas. You probably pushed them up and you took some type of chutzal barzel and you placed it to hold in place. So the truth is that according to what the Mishnah Berurah says, you could argue, even though again the Mishnah Berurah is noted to say an umbrella is at least this derabanan, our umbrellas would be totally mutter. But then the Mishnah Berurah writes, and anyway, according to the Rambam, the heter of Kisei Traskel might not be shayach over here because it's maybe the heter of Kisei Traskel is only said when it's not asur lehol, like a folding chair. But if it's asur lehol, like an umbrella, then it would be asur regardless. So therefore, since we should be chosh for the Rambam, then our umbrellas, which are asur lehol, even if they are comparable to Kisei Traskel, would be mutter. As opposed to the Chazon Ish says, first of all, he thinks the Chassam Sofer is correct fundamentally, and second of all, he says that the heter of Kisei Traskel is relevant even when it's Asui Lahol. Otherwise, why would you even need the Hatter in the first place? Because there's no walls, right? So as we'll see in a moment, the only time a roof without walls are usur is when it's lehol, and still we have this Hatter of Kisei Traskel. So Mimela should be Motah. Nevertheless, Chazanish says, Alachal Maisa, of course, you can't open umbrella on Shabbos. And that's because Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves to be Machmir. He uses an interesting lashon. He says, Umashiyesh Ladun, again, if you want to look at it, it's Simin Nun Esif Kanvav, Umashiyesh Ladun, Mishum Tekon Mane. One second. Here, Ruchama? Okay, sorry about that. One second. Yes! Okay, sorry about that again. I think we should probably finish up. So the Chazon Ish says that that Lamaisa. Let me redo the lesson. Umashi Yesh Ladun Mishum Tikun Mane Kevan De Psichaso Roi L'Shamesh Bo B'Chol Makom V'Gam Avshe Milsa Tfei V'Nikr Bo Uvdin D'Chol V'Gorim Pritza. It's Davar Masal Chachamim Ligdor Geder, and so the Chachamim decided that you shouldn't use an umbrella on Shabbos, and therefore it's Aser. Therefore it's Aser. But when it's not mamish like the case of an umbrella, like a the canopy over a stroller, the like, then that would be mutter. Maybe even an umbrella that's in the back of a house on a porch on a patio, you could say it would be mutter. It's only the case where the Chachamim made this restriction that it's usur. Okay, so we'll stop here. Bezras Hashem, we will pick up on Thursday. I hope we could finish up this melacha.